to fear. What does Krishna have to fear for the snake which coming in his soul? Krishna himself is so unlimited and powerful. Everyone, of course, trusted Balaram. And he just smiled. The residents of Vrindavan, Balaram was smiling. Balaram is so intelligent. He loves Krishna so much. If Balaram is smiling, that means that Balaram isn't afraid for Krishna's welfare. So therefore, Balaram isn't afraid. He's so wise, so intelligent, and so loving Krishna. Perhaps his words are true. Sanatana Goswami takes the point of view that although the externals may be one thing, but how can a person who's inimical to Krishna be holding him so tightly like that? Vrindavan had this one point in common, is that Krishna was everything for them. And he was their Prananath. He was their life, the Lord of their life. No life without Krishna. So if Krishna was in difficulty, practically they felt that they didn't exist. No meaning to their existence separate from Krishna. There's no separate identification of themselves. It was all as Krishna's. And how so much love, complete love. In fact, this is the only love that exists. Because it is Krishnendriya Priti, not Atmanendriya Priti. It's not selfish, but it's separate. Stimulated by these emotions is just material. Sthayi bhava is based on Krishna. Product of the relationship between the soul and the internal energy. Do you remember anything else? He started dancing in the last class. Huh? Also, the cowherd men, or the boys, were the first saw Krishna held so tightly in a dangerous situation. They fell down like what? their roots cut. There's nothing to hold them up anymore. So if a tree is cut straight across the ground, it just simply falls down because it has no support. So similarly, these residents of Vrindavan, all the residents of Vrindavan, their only support was Krishna. So they feared that Krishna wasn't there and they had nothing left to hold them up. They toppled to the ground. And how did Mother Yasoda stay alive? So in this way, they poured the nectar of the pastimes of Krishna into the ears of Mother Yasoda, and that way Mother Yasoda stayed alive. So what the last thing we read was which verse? 22. So 22 left us in this situation. Lord Balaram then saw that Nanda Maharaj and the other coward men who had dedicated their very lives to Krishna were beginning to enter the serpent's lake. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Balaram knew Lord Krishna's actual power and therefore he restrained them. Some he restrained physically, he held them back, some by his smile and some by his... Words first as we explain them. This potent smiling glance. Now, don't worry. And Balaram began to speak actually. He told them, don't worry about Krishna. This is just a snake of this world. Who could harm Krishna? And the moment Balaram stopped speaking, that is when Krishna rose from the bonds of the Kaliya, the bondage, tight embrace of Kaliya. So this is text 23, how Krishna is going to defeat Kaliya. Since we don't know what's going to happen yet, Krishna is being held by Kaliya. All those who think that Kaliya is going to crush Krishna, destroy Krishna, raise your hands. All those who think that Krishna is going to rise up and ultimately destroy Kaliya, raise your hand. Yes. All those who feel happy that Krishna is going to destroy Kaliya, chastise him. Yes.
All those who want Krishna to lose,
raise your hand. Huh? That's what I said. I just wanted to see who is who in the class.
Professor Adi Krishna Prabhu said that sometimes devotees say, we always know that Krishna is going to win.
Some of the devotees might think it would be good
sometimes for a change. Krishna loses.
Huh?
He only loses to the devotees of Braja. And he's very firmly defeated.
Tam sa gokulam ananyagatim.
Thus, in this way, Swagokulam. Swa means his own. Gokul, the people of Gokul, the people of Vrindavan. Ananyagatim means those people who had no other goal, gatim, or shelter, no other goal of shelter than Krishna. Nariksha Sastri Kumaram. So they were observing. Who is observing Krishna being held like that? Sastri, the Kumaras, the children, the Matajis and the children. How did they feel observing this? Ati Dukitam. Extremely distressed. Atmanito. Because they're full. That's like if we see someone in difficulty. If we don't know that person, if we don't have a relationship with that person, then we have no experience of difficulty ourselves when we see it. But if there's someone who we have a relationship with and we feel they're ours, meaning our family member, our friend, our teacher, our student, our this, our associate, our countryman, a person from South India. If we see people who we identify with, consider ours, in the group of ours, then their difficulty, by the power of that identification, causes us to have an experience. So this tells us one of the basic secret of entering deeply into Krishna Lila is that we have to see Krishna as ours. We have to be in relationship with Him. Otherwise we don't experience anything. So the residents of Vrindavan, they were ati dukhitam. They were extremely distressed at Mahitu because of Him. Because of his distress. Otherwise, they were on the bank of the river. They weren't in any difficulty. They were not even wet. But Krishna's distress caused them distress because of the full identification of themselves with Him. So Krishna, on his part, anavartmana stitva Muhurtam, for some time, a muhurtam, which means how long is a muhurtam? It changes in time, but the time of Krishna, I'm talking about the tempo, which is 48 minutes. For some time, Krishna, imitating ordinary people, he remained for some time in the coils of the snake. And he was doing this. Why was he doing this? All the residents of Vrindavan, because of their great love for him, they were experiencing incredible distress, full distress, atmahitu, on his account only. And Krishna, this distress they were experiencing was due to what? Their love for him. And Krishna likes to see, as everyone likes to see, the different ways that
out the loving sentiments and the loving emotions from his devotees, from those who love him. So here he did that. So he was caught within the coils of the snake for some time. And then at some point, after one muhurta, for some time or a moment, udishtitat, udatishtat, urangavandat, he rose up. He rose up from the coils of the Kriya snake. Now how did he do that? Expanded himself. Krishna also used the trick of expanding himself, because he's in a little bit of a difficult situation from one point of view, because he's being held by the snake and he can't display his full Aishwarya Leela, because all the residents of Vrindavan are watching him, they're staring at him. Eyes are unblinking. So if he shows himself to be the Supreme Lord, that will ruin their mood, it will ruin their love, it will remove that feeling that he is our village boy, our everything. That will be gone if he suddenly assumes a mighty form. If he suddenly gets to be as big as 10 mountains or something like that. So Krishna doesn't do that. He doesn't destroy his Narayana. Rather, he does something within the realm. So what Krishna did is he began to expand himself. But before we read that, let us read some of the commentaries. Srila Sridhar Swami has a short commentary. So the residents of Vrindavan are watching Krishna. Seeing him who is their only goal, thus situated. How is he situated? In the coils, the arm of Kaliya. And understanding that the residents of his own Gokul were experiencing extreme distress on his account, he rose up from the bonds of the snake. So the Sanatana Swami says, in this way, seeing the bewilderment of the residents of Gokul, for whom no other lord and protector exists other than himself, Sri Krishna stood up. Itam means sorrow, means Itam means that their sorrow, bewilderment, and so on, failed to desist, didn't stop. They were extremely distressed. Rather, their misery was increasing. They were fainting or falling to the ground. Ananya means unalloyed, pure. Seeing himself as their Lord, he thus considered, Krishna began to, he saw himself as that one whom they considered their Lord, their everything. Focus, the sanyasra of their entire consciousness of their lives. He immediately thought, I must give protection immediately, even if I have to perform an impossible feat if required. Thus the Lord's natural inability to tolerate the distress of others is exhibited. So Krishna removed himself from the snake. What impelled him to remove himself? He couldn't tolerate the distress any longer of the residents of the dump. So he grew up, because even more specifically, it was on his own account, it was due to him. Therefore he rose up very quickly with great haste. Along with the women and children, that is Sastri Komara, is separately indicated with the idea of expressing the particular sorrow of the gopis headed by Sri Yasoda, and of the young coward boys who are the Lord's associates headed by Sridham. Or else, seeing his own Gokula extremely distressed in that way, in the above described fashion and ready to die themselves and see himself as the master of Gokul, for whom beside themselves there did not exist any other lord, or alternatively, understanding Sri Nanda, the lord of these gopis and gopis who had no other shelter to be extremely distressed. So he was, one by one, Srila Sanatana Goswami is naming all the different groups of the residents of Vrindavan, saying that they're all distressed, and Krishna is seeing this. And therefore, quickly he rose up out of the boils of this. Or, Sanatana Goswami says, or this is an address to Maharaj Priti, O you who are Ananya. Ananyakatim. That they had no other shelter. If that word modifies Maharaj Priket, we'll discuss Maharaj Priket, no other shelter. Or you are an Ananya, the idea being it is required that he protects the lives of and gives all good fortune to those residents of Vrindavan who are exclusively devoted to the Lord. Just as you are. So he's assuring Maharaj Priket that just as Krishna must give protection to the residents of Vrindavan. Why? Because they're fully dependent upon him. So just as you are, because look at the difficult position Maharaj Priket is in too. He had how many days to live when the Bhagavatam? 7 days. And how many more days does he have? Three, perhaps, maybe the tenth canto. It's about maybe a third, you'd say, the whole Bhagavatam of 90 chapters. So now it's already 14 chapters into that, so not very many days left, maybe 2 or 3 days left. Sanatana Goswami also continues and says, therefore, for Muhurta, a short time, he remained within the bonds of the snake body of the serpent. Or else, in order that, here's another reason why he remained for some time, in order that the fault be exhibited to all the Kali's fault be shown to the entire world, so he could exact the punishment of exile and so on, he thus imitated mortal behavior. Because you know how people are in this world, they're always taking the side of the person who's being punished and the person who's, never mind he's done such horrible things. If someone's being chastising another person, you see this in the dogs of Vrindavan. You notice this in the dogs of Vrindavan. They may be doing all kinds of terrible things, but then if you throw a rock at them, even if it misses them by 30 feet, as if you're killing them or something like that, and they're just doing politics, just trying to bring out everyone's sympathy. So naturally and then everyone's, why are you giving so much trouble to that dog? So Krishna is going to exile Kaliya. So he's showing what an evil character, an evil creature this Kaliya is first. He's trying to kill Krishna, he's holding him, trying to kill him for so long. So therefore when Kaliya's chastised, will say, yes, he deserved it. Thus, Krishna, imitating the ways, suddenly stood up. The actual understanding, and this is what Sanatana Goswami's internal reasons of why Krishna is acting, there's external reasons and internal reasons, and the internal reasons, he's saying that how is it possible that an enemy of Krishna can penetrate into Vrindavan? And later on he will also say Sharanada has been given shelter in Vrindavan. Kaliya. So how is it possible that a demon who is envious of Krishna could be there? So actually, and touching Krishna's transcendental body. So this takes the utmost qualification. So Kaliya couldn't be such a horrendous character. Rather, he's the most exalted devotee. And also at the end of Srila Bhagavatam, so that's what Sanatana Goswami describes how Kaliya Krishna sometimes uses Kaliya to do what? To go to Mathura. He rides him like a horse in the waters of the Yamuna. Water skiing.
Yes,
Kaliya skiing.
So he's a great devotee. So he mentions this point on a few occasions.
The actual understanding is that one who meets another with special affection by embracing him, and so on, does not forcibly free himself, but rather he remains embraced for some time. So it would have been quite polite if Kaliya was giving Krishna such a loving embrace that he immediately breaks free. So in that way, Sanatana Goswami describes why Krishna stayed with him. His embrace, his coils for a muhurta. So after remaining for a muhurta, he stood up from the bondage of the serpent. And the reason for his rising up is given, since his own Gokul, in such a condition, would not remain alive without his rising up again. Seeing Gokul as having no other Lord and protector than himself, all of them, even women and children, Krishna rose up from the corpse. For a muhurta, 48 minutes, he remained as if stunned. By what? By Kaliya's power. Trapped, enwrapped, caught by Kaliya. He remained like that, imitating an ordinary person. As if he was stunned, as if he couldn't escape. But Krishna's mood, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur, well, my dear Kaliya, you have had the chance to exhibit all your prowess, all your power. Now what was Kaliya trying to do? Like a python, he's trying to take his coils and kill him so he couldn't breathe. Crush him. So you have now have had the power to exhibit your prowess. Now, this coward boy is going to exhibit the prowess of his strength. Just see, Krishna is so chivalrous. Thus speaking, he rose up from the bondage of the serpent. 24.
What will happen? It's very exciting.
Because when Krishna does something, it is always extraordinary. Now to see this, to understand what's going on, one has to see this from the point of view of the residents of Vrindavan. What are they feeling? Krishna's being kept. What are they feeling? What are they experiencing? The most intense distress, they're going to die. Just imagine how much love they have. But seeing Krishna in difficulty like that is causing them so much distress. And they're just staring at him, and they're not allowed, they can't enter the water. Either they're fainted or Balaram is stopping them. But they can't enter the water. And they're crying and they're fainted and their faces are all tortured because of their love for Krishna. And then, although they don't know what's happening, Krishna begins to expand himself, expand his body. Kaliya's trying to crush him, compress Krishna's body, and Krishna's expanding. Who is more powerful? Who thinks that because of Kaliya's great strength, Krishna will not be able to expand and free himself? Raise your hand if you think. There are no Kaliya bhaktis here. So, pratyamana vapusha vyati ta atma voga. So by expanding his vapusha, expanding his own body, Krishna gave pain
to the serpent, because he couldn't make the, he was trying and his muscles were breaking because there was a force going in the exact opposite direction, and he was forced, chapfa, to give up. He was forced to release Krishna. And then what did he do? Did he immediately say, oh, Krishna is so powerful, he's forced me to release him? No, he didn't think like that at all. But what does a snake do when his attempt, he's trying to do something, and his attempt is stopped, thwarted by another? He becomes extremely angry. Some soul, some person, a human being, perhaps a devotee sometime, or a non-human, like a dog, or a monkey, or a tiger, or just somehow or another, someone, especially someone, we want to do something, and someone stops us. And if we're in that kind of a mood, a serpent kaleas, you become angry and immediately, you want to bite them. Even though Kaliya was trying to kill Krishna, still he became angry at Krishna for escaping from his grasp. You think yourself, you're trying to escape from me, I'll show you how powerful I am. So Chakfa Maya Kupita Swafanam Bhujanga. So he released Krishna, Chakfa, and then Unnamaya, he raised high Kupita in great anger, Swafanam Bhujanga. The serpent raised high his hoods, feeling great anger. When one is angry at another, how do you feel about that person that you're angry about, angry at? Of course, none of you know. No experience of anger. Because you're all great devotees, and you have no experience of enmity. Trying to crush you, and you're trying to stop me, and you've defeated me, you've stopped what I wanted to do, I'll kill you. That's the mood. This is the snake-like mood. I have my plan, and you are trying to stop me. I'll teach you something that you won't forget. Notice how good I am at taking that part. It's not by accident. So then the snake, Safanam Bhujanga, the serpent's hoods were raised. Tasto, he stood there. Svasan, he stood still and he breathed heavily. That anger. Svasana Randra, Visha Ambarisha, like two vessels for cooking poison, and this ambarish seems to be, vish means of course poison, and ambarish some kind of a pot that poison is cooked in. So his nostrils, because smoke and fire were coming out, and some of the acharyas take that word vish ambarish and apply it to his eyes, because his eyes were red in anger. And smoke is coming out of his nostrils. He's so angry. And his eyes stubbed the ikshana. They were fixed on Krishna. Ulmukha. Like burning fire. And he was powerful. He had over 100 heads. Hoods, major hoods. He had even more than that. And he was just staring at
crisp, anger and fire in his eyes, with enmity and envy and death in his eyes. And what was he doing? His eyes were fixed on Mukha Harini Shamana, just staring at Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a translation. His coils tormented by the expanding body of the Lord. Kaliya released him. In great anger, the serpent then raised its hoods high and stood still, breathing heavily. His nostrils appeared like vessels for cooking poison because smoke and fire were coming from them, and the staring eyes in his face like firebrands. Thus the serpent looked at the Lord. It's very frightening. So this Nakan was funny. Breaking off the firmly held envelope of the serpent's body by the slight expansion of his divine body, because this was not even the smallest exhibition of Krishna's power, or perhaps it was the smallest, because just imagine, just understand what it took for Krishna to expand himself to the degree that Kaliya was forced to let him go. When Krishna possesses unlimited power, so it took no effort, practically speaking. So, a slight expansion of his divine body within his coils, and the serpent became angry on account of his pain. And because his own body became disturbed, he breathed repeatedly, loudly, expelling his breath. And furthermore, as expressed by the words beginning Sasana, his nostrils were poisonous, inasmuch that his heavy breathing, due to his poisonous condition, became exaggerated. In this context, the word Ambarish means a vessel for cooking poison, a metaphor indicating the extreme redness of his eyes and their being filled evil poison, poisonous look he had upon his face. His face containing firebrands on account of releasing flames of blazing poison from his mouth. It can be understood that each of the successive descriptions are more and more horrifying, Sanatana Goswami says. And this is exemplified by the fact of the serpent being more poisonous than anyone else. The Lord here is called Hari, right in the last part of the line. Mukho Hari Mikshamana, he was looking at Lord Hari, the face of Lord Hari. Because of his endeavor, he was angry because he knew that Krishna had come to challenge him and take away his home. So he was angry in this way. But then Sanatana Goswami said, the actual idea, that his own body being undisturbed. He was undisturbed, but because of the Lord suddenly rising up, he simply stood up looking at him. The heavy breathing and so on, a sattvika bhav, transformation of ecstasy. And in that context, the comparison to a frying pan and so on is simply due to his born nature, the nature of the snake, Sanatana Goswami saying, oh, to see this. This is how the Kaliya is expressing, because he has the body of a snake. This is how he's expressing his sattvika bhavas. Because Krishna is leaving, he stood up because it's time for Krishna to go, because the residents of Vrindavan are in so much distress. It's time for Krishna to break and leave from his embrace, so he's feeling separation. And these are his sattvika bhavas being expressed through his serpent mentality and body. The vision of Sanatana Goswami. And Srila Vishnu Bhagavati Thakur says, Kaliya, whose own body being forced by Krishna to expand is being tormented as if being broken by that expanding body of the Lord with his arms, knees, and so on. His entire body was expanding because he was being held from bottom to top. So, releasing his hold, giving him up, raising high his own hoods and breathing heavily, he simply remained watching. Kaliya's eyes were burning, just like an ambarish of fire for frying hot poison. And firebrands or fiery coals, fiery red, came out from his eyes. A very dangerous position. Again and again, Kaliya licked his lips with his bifurcated tongue. Bifurcated tongue means snakes have tongues that are split in the middle. He would lick one side of his lips, lick the other side of his lips, as he stared at Krishna with a glance full of terrible, poisonous fire. But Krishna, who was free from him completely, began playfully circling around him, just as Garuda would play the snake. Sometimes you see that. Yeah, Garuda, maybe the eagles, right? The eagles would circle around the snake. The snake wouldn't know which way to go. Sometimes you see a cat playing with a mouse, just completely caught and controlled. Has anyone ever seen that? Yes. Cats get pleasure in that way, torturing the poor mice. But Krishna, he was playfully circling Kaliya, and in response, Kaliya also moved about, looking for an opportunity to bite him. So Kaliya was, his hoods were raised, redoubled, and Krishna started moving, and Kaliya, whatever way Kaliya started moving, Krishna started moving the opposite direction, and they were going round and round and round in that way, and Krishna was moving so skillfully and expertly that the serpent, even though he was trying, was unable to bite Krishna. Sanatana Goswami comments. With that tongue that had two front parts, Kaliya was repeatedly licking on all sides of his two lips. Thus, although it is his very born nature to simultaneously lick both his lips with two sides of his tongue, still the implication is that he is now doing this excessively due to his anger, which indicates the fearfulness of the situation. In other words, that because he was so angry, he wasn't at all peaceful. Just like recently there was some story in somewhere in California or somewhere that there was some young men who were in a zoo, and they were torturing it. They were not torturing, they were teasing a tiger who was behind a fence. And even though the tiger was behind a fence, and it didn't do anything because it was just being a tiger in the zoo. But then they were teasing him, and they got the tiger angry. And when the tiger was angry, even though he normally wouldn't do this, he just simply jumped over the fence. And then he was attacked. He killed them, three people. He killed one young lady. And then he mauled the two people who were teasing him before they stopped him. Excessively angry. But despite the fact, so it was extraordinarily dangerous.
Lord wasn't fearful at all. He was just moving around, walking around on all sides, just for the sake of walking. Casually, just as the king of birds, Garuda, who even though capable of immediately killing a snake, wanders about for the sake of sport, which is an example of playing. So with each step of the Lord, Kaliya was carefully looking for an opportunity to bite him. Everywhere he was just, everywhere that he would turn, Krishna would move, Kaliya was always trying to figure out how to bite him. He was waiting for an opportunity because of his being unable to find an opportunity on account of the Lord's expertise in playing with the serpent. Whichever way Kaliya would move, Krishna would move in the opposite direction. The Lord moved around, he who was repeatedly licking his own two lips. In other words, he moved around him in order to confuse him. And Kaliya also moved about, looking about carefully for an opportunity to bite. But because of the lightness, the agility, the lightness of Krishna's movements, Kaliya could not find an opportunity to bite Kaliya, to bite Krishna. In other words, Krishna conquered him simply by moving around. Having some, by moving and moving and moving and Kaliya trying to strike him and moving and moving and moving, Kaliya's energy became lessened, became depleted. And having severely depleted the serpent's strength with his relentless, non-stopping circling, Sri Krishna, the origin of everything, pushed down. Here's Krishna is going to begin the next part of his wonderful activities. He pushed down Kaliya's raised shoulders. That means this part over here. He pushed down over here because the shoulders are the thing that the head is on top of. So right below where the Kaliya's head was, Krishna pushed that down. And then he pushed it down. Then, amazingly enough, because Krishna does everything in such a wonderful, dramatic, unique way, which fulfills many of his purposes, he pushed down Kaliya's head and then jumped up upon the head. He mounted his broad serpentine head, and thus Krishna, Sri Krishna, the original master of all fine arts, he began to dance. His lotus feet, deeply reddened by the touch of the numerous jewels upon the serpent's heads. So Krishna's lotus feet are pinkish, and the head, the jewels on Kaliya's head were sparkling and reddish color, and they made Krishna's soft, pinkish lotus feet even more pink, appear even more pink, as he began to dance upon the heads of Kaliya. Sri Hari Vamsa stands, Shadasa Krishna Chandraha Sahastina Vayamya. Krishna grabbed Kaliya's head with his hand and forced it to bow down. So Hari Vamsa says, grabbed it by his hand, pushed it down, and then jumped up on top. Most people in this world are quite reluctant to bow down to the Supreme Person, the Absolute Truth. In a contaminated state called material consciousness, we conditioned souls become proud of our insignificant position and are thus reluctant to bow our heads before the Lord. Yet just as Lord Krishna forcibly pushed Kaliya's heads down, defeated him. The Supreme Lord's energy in the form of irresistible time kills all conditioned souls and thus forces them to bow down their arrogant heads. We should therefore give up the artificial position of material life and become
faithful servants of the Supreme Lord, enthusiastically bowing down at his lotus feet.
Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura explains that Lord Krishna's lotus feet became red like copper because of their contact with the numerous odd jewels upon the heads of Kaliya. Lord Krishna, with those glowing reddish feet, then began to demonstrate his artistic skill by dancing on the unsteady, moving surface of the serpent's wings. This extraordinary demonstration of dancing skill was meant for the pleasure of the young women of Vrindavan, who with this phase of their relationship with Krishna were seriously falling in love with him. So this is the gopis' purvarag. They had never been with Krishna. Sometimes the acharya said they had already been with Krishna. But they had never been with Krishna, but they were just seeing him from a distance sometimes as he went out and heard the cows, and they were looking at him with loving eyes, loving glances, loving sidelong glances. And Krishna was returning from the cow herding each day, and they were hearing all the time about the wonderful exploits and activities of Krishna. He killed this one, he had done this, he's done that. And everyone in all of Vrindavan talked about nothing other than Krishna. So these young gopis, these young girls, were in love with him. So Krishna was showing off his dancing. Why? To increase their attraction. Kaliya's power was spoiled by the circling around and around of the Lord. His shoulders were raised. Krishna's lotus feet became reddened by touching the many jewels upon Kaliya's head. So, from the comment of the Bhimati purported, appeared that when you're walking on a rough surface, blood circulates in the feet more and they become reddish. So similarly, Krishna, by dancing upon the jewels of the serpent's head, his feet also, which are also naturally pinkish, they became still more red. So his pink lotus feet were dancing upon the heads of Kaliya. But it may be questioned, how was he able to dance upon those heads? They were all moving around so unsteadily because Krishna was, they were trying to bite Krishna, and he had 100 heads, and they were moving. How is it possible that Krishna could dance upon them? And the answer is given in the verse, that he is the Guru Nartana, Kali Kalada Guru Nartana. Nanarta, he was dancing because he's the Adi Guru, he's the teacher, the expert teacher of all arts, which include dancing, is Krishna, is about dancing. Srila Sanatana Goswami says, about the comment was of Srila Goswami. Sanatana Goswami says, Kaliya's shoulders were raised, although his strength had been spoiled by the Lord's moving about. Therefore it is stated that Krishna forced them to become lowered. He became tired, his shoulders and his head was lowered like this. His head was moving forward and lowered. So he was already becoming humble. Krishna's head had been described as wide. This is expressed that on account of his head being very broad, it is a suitable stage for the dancing of the Lord. The phrase beginning Tat Murta states the Lord's special beauty as well as his absorption in the movements of dance and his expertise in dance. The original guru of all arts means the best of instructors, or else the first propagator. He is the one, the original artist, the original dancer. All
ultimately it can be deduced that that Kaliya's great fortune is that the primeval one has climbed upon his heads. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura says, making bowed down, he whose two shoulders were raised high means that on account of his becoming deprived of his strength due to the Lord's moving around, Kaliya was no longer capable of moving around himself. And then, when he was weakened, in that weakened condition, the Lord forced his heads to bow down with his single hand, pushed them down. He was like this already, tired. And then Krishna took his head and pushed it down. And he climbed upon the broad head and he began to dance. We have the description of the Harivamsa that we read. Krishna grabbed Kaliya's head with his hand and forced him to bow down. Seeing the dancing, servants in the heavenly planets, dogs, sitters, the sages, the charanas, and the wives of the demigods, they immediately arrive. Oh, there's a party, a dancing party. Also, you can see now where Hindi movies get their thing from, that in the middle of every Hindi movie they have to dance, yes? Also in South Indian movies, the same, yes? So same also in the middle of the Bhagavatam. Now there'll be another dance very soon coming up too. In the middle of a dangerous situation, Krishna's leelas are such that he breaks into a dance and makes it all joyful. So remember, just remember the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Just try to understand what Krishna has done. He's brought them to the depths, the lowest point of despair. Kali is crushing them from their point of view. It appears that he's crushing them. And then Krishna, they can't see it because Krishna's body is within the coils of the snake. But Krishna's expanding his body. So they don't notice that. And suddenly, he releases Krishna. And all the residents of Vrindavan, what? Their life comes back. There's hope. And then, Krishna amazingly, from the point of view of being dead, to being released, and then very quickly, circling around and circling around, what's going to happen next? And then suddenly, he jumps on the heads of Kaliya and begins to dance. Just imagine. We can't imagine. Just imagine. It's like a person, the closest thing I can think of, is a person is a person who is about to die and lose everything. And then suddenly, not only has he gained back his health, but he's gotten $10 billion or something like that. And just, he's gone from the point of complete despair to the point of elation. And the residents of Vrindavan are just watching Krishna dance upon the heads of the snake. So they're astounded. So when you're in difficulty, and then something that causes such great happiness occurs, you become completely intoxicated by that circumstance. You're completely miserable, and you're completely down, and then something completely light and beautiful and artistic happens, and this one's mood becomes completely transformed from the depths to the height, and one's completely intoxicated by the situation. Krishna's dancing upon the heads of the snake in a wonderful way. And all the demigods and their wives and the sages and different varieties of Gandharvas, they immediately come there. Oh, Krishna's dancing, and we should, they're expert dancers too, but especially the apsaras, but while Krishna, the teacher, is dancing,
the Adiguru of all fine arts is dancing, they won't dance along with him. Because they cannot. Why can't they? He's so expert, they're shy, they're embarrassed, and he's the teacher. They can't dance unless they are invited to dance. Yes? Unless he says, come, you dance too, but he doesn't. Because he doesn't want to dance with them. He wants to dance with others. So, but they stop playing their instruments. Krishna's dancing? What's the use of our having instruments if we can't accompany him? So with great pleasure, this is just a few moments after the greatest distress, with great pleasure they begin accompanying the Lord's dancing by playing drums, such as mridangas, panagas, and anagas. They also made offerings of songs and flowers and prayers. So they're praying, they're singing, they're dropping flowers, they're playing drums, and suddenly this complete dark disaster turns into a festival. A happy, joyous, singing, dancing, musical instrument festival with flowers coming from the sky. And just imagine when there is the highest love with Krishna. Just imagine the change of emotions that take place in the residence of Vrindavan. Remember, they know nothing but Krishna. But Krishna. Krishna is everything to them, and he looks like he's going to die, and they don't have anything. And suddenly he's dancing on the Kaliya's heads. He's victorious, and his lotus feet in the midst of all this, they're reddish and beautiful as he dances in a very expert way. When the demigods and other residents of higher planetary systems became aware that Lord Sri Krishna was personally putting on a wonderful demonstration of the art of dancing, they immediately came to offer their services. Dancing becomes enjoyable and beautiful to watch when it is accompanied by expert drum playing, singing, and the chanting of prayers. The artistic atmosphere was also enhanced by the showering of a multitude of flowers upon Lord Sri Krishna, who is blissfully engaged in dancing upon the lips of the Kaliya serpent. Krishna was smiling and dancing, his hands in the air, and his feet banging down, and make how the Indian style dancing, Kathak dancing. There's a way of dancing where they knock their feet on the ground, the heels, and they boom, 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 and they make rhythms by slapping their heels on the ground with great force. So Krishna was boom, boom, he was smacking his heels down on Kaliya's head. So he's dancing in this wonderful artistic way, moving his hands perfectly and gracefully, and at the same time he's jumping very artistically from one moving head to the next, smashing his heels down on the heads with great force, and in this way punishing, kicking Kaliya again and again, while dancing and looking at the gopis and smiling, and the gopis are looking at him, and the demigods are throwing flowers and they're playing drums, and he's kicking the heads of Kaliya with his heels again and again and again and again, doing all these things at one time. So Krishna is blissfully dancing on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent. Paraphernalia, this is Sanatana Goswami's comment. The paraphernalia offered for the purpose of facilitating the dancing is described in the first beginning of talk. At that very moment, Tadiya, his personal associates such as Garuda, and the inhabitants of heaven such as the Gandharvas and Charans, they arrived to render service by playing mridangas and so forth. So suddenly this disaster turned into a festival. The mridangas and so forth, the Gandharvas by singing, and the wives of the demigods, the apsaras, by offering flowers, it became unfitting for them to engage in dancing, in consideration that the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself was dancing.
other goddesses also danced, although that is not expressly stated. And though also many other unmentioned paraphernalia of worship, such as various fragrances, ointments, and so on. And by the word with offerings and prayers, it is to be understood that sages are also present. The transgression of exact proper order is out of affection, and all these different offerings being mixed up because of the different demigods arriving there suddenly, and all they arrive there all together, or else these things were not carefully sorted out by Sukadeva because of the burden of his ecstasy, or also because of such affection, it is to be understood that all of these offerings began simultaneously in all different locations. Even without musical accompaniment, the Lord danced the sounds like tai, tai. So while he was banging his heels, he was making those sounds, these musical, the sounds that music, expert musicians make, da, 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 da. He's kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking. So he himself was making those sounds. He was going as he was kicking and dancing, tai, da, 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 da. The idea is that the demigods then thought, what is the purpose of our being demigods if we cannot accompany the Lord in his dancing? Yajjaro nanamate angasataika shirshnas. Whichever shira heads namanam na namate, whatever head would bow down, Krishna would jump on one head, and some other head would come up trying to strike Krishna. And then, whichever head wouldn't bow down, Anga, my dear Maharaj, okay? Sataka Eka Shirshna, of him who had 101 heads, Tat Tat Mamada, those were Mamada, they were trampled down. Kara, Dandadara, Angripataya, trampled down by the feet of he who exerts punishment on Kaliya, who is so evil. And Jina Ayusha, Brahmanta, O Brahma Satyam Asri Nasto Vaman Paramakaj Malama Vanaga. So as Krishna was dancing, jumping, kicking, going ta 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 ta, so two things are going on, and Krishna is doing both of them completely expertly. On one level, Krishna is dancing and making a great festival blissfully. On the other level, he's chastising and punishing and kicking Kaliya to the degree that blood starts to come from his mouth. And he begins to vomit poison, and he's experiencing complete devastation and suffering, complete exhaustion while this festival is going on above his very head. So here's the translation. My dear King, Kaliya had 100 Brahman heads, and when one of them would not bow down, Lord Krishna would inflict punishment on cruel wrongdoers, would smash that stubborn head by striking it with his feet. Then as Kaliya entered his death throes, he began wheeling heads around and vomiting ghastly blood from his mouth and nostrils. The serpent thus experienced extreme pain and misery. Shirasoni, Shri comment. Whichever head did not bow down, did not give up its stubbornness on the pretext of dancing, Krishna trampled upon it, striking it, with the heels of his feet. And at that time, from Kaliya's faces and from his nostrils, Kaliya vomited blood. Sanatana Goswami says, by the word one, it is indicated there were also many others, since it was later to be stated that he had 1,000 words. Sina Ayusha, whose life has been diminished, means who is practically dead. The serpent had become weakened to the point of death on account of vomiting blood from his mouth and nostrils because of those passages being blocked by the Lord. Because he was kicking and kicking and one head would come up, Krishna would dance on this end would try to strike it, Krishna would jump on that head and kick it down, another head, kick it down, and another one. And he had a thousand, and Krishna was dancing expertly, jumping from one head to the next, dancing perfectly, da-da-da-da, smashing with his heels, blissfully dancing. Quite extraordinary. One sentence from it. Whatever head did not bow down, whichever head remained raised high, Krishna forcibly climbed upon it and immediately trampled it down with the blows from his feet. So all of you who thought that Kaliya was going to defeat Krishna, now it is proving that you were wrong. And all those who knew that Krishna would come out victorious, you were all 100% correct. Krishna is in the process of giving the choice. Exuding poisonous waste from his eyes, so from his mouth, from his nostrils, from his eyes. Kaliya would occasionally dare to raise up one of his heads. He wasn't giving up. He was a stubborn, envious snake. He would dare to raise up one of his heads, which would breathe heavily with anger. Then the Lord would dance on it and subdue it, forcing it to bow down with his foot. The demigods took each of these exhibitions as an opportunity to worship him, the primeval personality of Godhead. The showers of flowers. Flowers were pouring down. Srila Swami comments on the text of Bhagavad Gita. Once again, with anger, heavily breathing, whatever hood would rise up, Krishna would make bow down by striking him with his foot. Thus the darling son of Yashoda would then be worshipped with flowers by the gladdened Vrindavas and other demigods, just like they worship the primeval Lord resting, Narayan resting on Seshanara. Or else, becoming satisfied as if he were being worshipped with flowers, he subdues those ends, in other words, out of mercy, and act for the benefit of Kaliya. But was Kaliya thinking, oh, thank you, Krishna, you're so kind, you're acting for my benefit? No. What was Kaliya doing? He was suffering. He was simply suffering. So what was the cause of his suffering? Yes, it wasn't. Yes, it wasn't Krishna. It was his lack of surrender that was causing his suffering. And what was the cause of his lack of surrender? His pride, his arrogance, and his enmity with Krishna. Now, only through his eyes, he was profusely vomiting with poison. By this, it is understood that even at this point, he was staring at Krishna harshly. By the strokes of Krishna's feet, by the movements of his dancing, by the particular placement of his lotus feet, Krishna carried out the trampling, the driving out of Kaliya's contamination, which was natural to a species. Snakes are known to be envious.
Or else, by the touch of the Lord's lotus feet, Kali is attaining special great fortune, and therefore the Lord is inducing him to raise up his hoods.
So he wants every Christian to get full mercy. So he's inspired Kali to raise up his hoods so he can jump on them and kick them and give them, touch them with his lotus feet.
But Kali is losing his vitality and so on. And this is the Lord's exacting punishment upon such places as Kali's poisonous mouths. It is simply for the sake of dispelling his naturally perverted strength, pride, and so forth. And thus, out of ecstasy of pure love, Kali became stunned. So Sanatana Goswami is explaining it from that point of view. In ecstasy, he's stunned, he can't move. Following which his vomiting of refuse was the abandonment of all his internal contamination. He subdued each head, means that he was forced, Kali was forced to give up the natural contamination of his birth in such a species. By this it was established that in actuality the Lord acted beneficially. And that is the explanation given by Srila Swami. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, again a very short comment. Amongst his heads, whichever one would rise up by the striking of Krishna's feet, he is making it bow down. On occasion, he is being worshipped by flowers. He is being worshipped by flowers showered down by elated Gandharvas and other demigods. Thus becoming satisfied, he subdued the evil Kaliya for the benefit of the demigods. Dear Parikin, Lord Krishna's wonderful, powerful dancing. And this is the last verse that describes Krishna's kindness to Kaliya. My dear King Parikin, Lord Krishna's wonderful, powerful dancing trampled and broke all of Kaliya's 1,000 hoods. Then the serpent, profusely vomiting blood from his mouth, finally recognized Sri Krishna to be the eternal personality of Godhead, the supreme master of all moving and non-moving beings, Sri Narayana. Thus within his mind, Kaliya took shelter of the Lord. So now he's surrendered. Narayanam tam araram manasa jagam. Aranam, the shelter. He went to Krishna for shelter. I realize who I'm fighting. I realize who I'm inimical with. And I've had enough. In Volume 1, Chapter 16 of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada points out that whereas previously Kaliya was vomiting poison, now his poison was exhausted and he began to vomit blood. Thus he had been cleansed of the vile contamination within his heart, the poison that had manifested as serpent's venom. The word smritva, remembering, is very significant here. The wives of Kali were actually serious devotees of Lord Krishna, and according to the acharyas, they often tried to convince him, what does smritva, remembering, means remembering. So he remembered who Krishna was. And remembering means you heard it before and you remembered something that you also knew. You're recalling something that you already knew. So how did he remember who Krishna was? Because his wives had often tried to convince their husband to surrender unto him. Finally, finding himself in unbearable agony, Krishna remembered his wife's advice and took shelter of the Lord. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that Kaliya's arch rival had traditionally been Garuda, the carrier Vishnu, but now Kaliya realized that he was fighting an opponent who was thousands of times stronger than Garuda, and who therefore could only be the Supreme Personality of God. Thus Kaliya took shelter from Krishna. So this beautiful boy, beautiful, beautiful, young boy, 6, 7 years old perhaps, is unlimitedly powerful, thousands and thousands of times more powerful than even Garuda. His unlimited transcendental body is unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly beautiful. He's unlimitedly intelligent and he's unlimitedly good at dancing.
Devotion to whom has been advised by my wives. Such became revealed to his own power of remembrance. Trying to show my exceptional strength, I have advertised myself, though very foolish, as the Supreme Lord and worshipable object. But mercifully he has placed his foot upon my head, and thus has become my spiritual master, and has shown satisfaction. Now I shall approach him. His wives saw how the serpent had become so fatigued from the excessive weight of Krishna, who carries the entire universe in his abdomen, and how Kaliya's umbrella-like hoods had been shattered by the strength of Krishna's heels. The wives felt great distress, with their clothing, ornaments, and hair scattered in disarray. They then approached the eternal person. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura, Kaliya's wives had been disgusted with their husband because of his demonic activities. They had been thinking, if this atheist is killed by the punishment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then let him be killed. We will become widows and engage in the worship of the Supreme Lord. But then the ladies noticed Kaliya's facial expression and upper bodily features, and they understood that Kaliya had indeed taken shelter of the Lord. Seeing that he was manifesting symptoms of humility, remorse, regret, and doubt, they thought, just see how fortunate you are. Our husband has now become a Vaishnava. Therefore, we must now endeavor to protect him. They felt affection for the repentant husband and severe distress because of his physical position, and thus altogether they went into the presence of this Supreme Lord. Gaurava Jagataha. This verse, right in the first line. Krishnasya Gaurava Jagato Ati Vara Vasananam. The word Gaurava Jagata, in whose womb is the entire universe, overcome, because it means that Kali was overcome by Krishna's excessive weight. He was feeling the weight of he who was carrying the universe within his belly. Parsi means the back part of the foot, and the original one means Sri Krishna. Sanatana Goswami, even though the Supreme Lord had become satisfied by Kaliya's taking shelter, in order to show special mercy to those wives, and in order to show their greatness, their transcendental understanding caused by their greater surrender, it is described in the two verses beginning Krishna. By comparing his hoods to umbrellas, though they're being broken umbrellas, hints at the downfall of his regal opulence, because the umbrella is a sign of the royal order. They approached means they went to his side, to Krishna's side, and because of being distressed, they clothed themselves in disarray. Because one of the comments, two sentences. Even though Kaliya was fatigued by having taken shelter in this manner, still his wives considered it more important to approach him, Krishna, who was standing upon Kaliya's heads, as described by the two verses beginning with Krishna. The phrase Gaurava Jagata implies that Krishna is all powerful. We cannot win if we choose to fight at the end of Krishna. Okay, let's stop here.